Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Early Line, hour number two, live right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on this Thursday morning. Let's get to our 7-7 top headlines. The Philadelphia 76ers blow a 26-point lead at home, their second massive lead in a row that they have blown and lost to the Atlanta Hawks. And they now, Donnie, face elimination down 3-2 in this series.
Not looking good for the Sixers. That place is going to be wild down in Atlanta for Game 6, so the Sixers are going to have to put out their best effort. But you know what, Doc Rivers? You know how you put your best effort and your best foot forward? You keep your starters out there. You keep some of the best players in the league. The goal is to have your better players on the court much, much more than your second or your third stringers just to get some minutes out of them and try to extend games. We'll see what happens in Game 6. Still confident the Sixers can win this series, but all it's going to take now, Kevin, is a very good shooting night for Atlanta, and it won't matter what the Sixers even do.
When I coached at the high school summer camp where I went to high school, I led my group to a championship. Now, it was ages, you know, about 8 through 10, but at this point, I don't see why the Sixers, or the Bucks for that matter, give me a shot here, because Doc Rivers has no idea what the postseason is. Neither does Mike Budenholzer. This is a disaster, and if this team loses this series, it is no way an overreaction to fire Doc Rivers after one season. What an absolute mess, as they've continually proved they are the better team than the Atlanta Hawks. They have no idea how to finish these games. What an absolute disaster. When we move on, though, disaster for Utah, phenomenal, phenomenal things for the Los Angeles Clippers, who find out that they not only are without Kawhi Leonard for this Game 5 in Utah, but potentially the remainder of this postseason. But Paul George steps up and answers the bell in a way that people have been clamoring for since he joined the LA Clippers, and they pull off a big-time upset, Donnie, in Utah to take a 3-2 series lead.
No doubt about it. Taking a look at how that played out. Look at the two games yesterday and compare the two. Two of the more massive home court advantage teams in the NBA both went down in circumstances they shouldn't have. When you take a look at the Philadelphia 76ers in their game, 20-plus point lead, let it get away at home. And then you take a look at the Utah Jazz, one of the better teams in the NBA, at home in elevation. And obviously the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard, impressive stuff in that game. Playoff P leads his team to victory. Can they close out Utah at home at Staples Center? What an interesting series. What an interesting NBA playoff run here, Kevin.
Very, very. We did have some more NBA news, this though not pertaining to the postseason, both but the Pelicans and the Washington Wizards making head coach moves. Stan Van Gundy out after one season in New Orleans, and then the Wizards and Scott Brooks unable, Donnie, to come to a new agreement after his contract expired at the end of this year.
Yeah, how about the first one? The interesting one is the New Orleans Pelicans. As you take a look, Zion going to play for yet another coach at this time. I don't know what they're looking for. I don't know why they go back and forth. Pick a young, up-and-comer guy, you know, that's going to be able to use analytics and move the process forward as opposed to staying in the past with reaching down. Maybe they'll get another Van Gundy and hire him down there to see if they can coach up Zion. But I don't lose any sleep over these NBA coaches. It's not right, Kevin. He can't fire a guy after one season. The money still spends the same whether you're working or not in the NBA. Van Gundy won. Hey, 1 year, get fired, get a couple years of free paychecks. Sign me up for that, Kev.
Also, it seemed that SVG had some differences with the front office in just a way they wanted to approach the team, it made some sense there. And also Scott Brooks and that Wizards team has been so bad on the defensive side of the ball. If they're going to get where they need to go, they probably needed to make that move that they did. Let's bring the radio audience into the fold. We appreciate everybody listening to the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio and SiriusXM Channel 204. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here. Sticking with the NBA for just one more headline, LaMelo Ball takes down Rookie of the Year honors, Donnie.
He does, and maybe he deserved it, maybe he didn't, but the one thing the NBA likes is LaMelo Ball and his family out there on a pedestal. Great for social media, Instagram, Twitter, everybody's talking about it, and you also saw the interview last night with the shades and the gold chains. Fits the narrative here. Got the NBA talking. Does it mean much? Probably not. Good for LaMelo Ball.
And he also absolutely deserved to win the award. So I'm glad to see that they got it right, no matter what Timberwolves Twitter, which crazily does exist, tends to think. Oh. We keep moving, though. Stanley Cup playoffs last night. The Montreal Canadiens pull a big-time upset in Game 2, winning against the Vegas Golden Knights in Vegas by a final tally of 3-2.
How about that? You know, getting out to an early lead and holding on for dear life versus the Vegas Golden Knights. That's a great win by them. 1-1 as they send it back to, Kevin, here's the pronunciation that's correct. Send it back to Montreal as we see if the Canadiens can steal a game or at least win two games. Imagine this, Kevin. They go back to Montreal and also take a 3-1 lead before going back to Vegas. It could happen. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. But for everybody out there, including myself, that was like, ah! This series is going to go three games, not even four, because how many blowouts that we have.
Right.
Good for Montreal for winning that game and pushing it back. So now we have some hockey action we can delve into, Kevin.
Yeah, Carey Price continuing to get the job done. Jacob deGrom continuing to get the job done. Perfect through three innings, striking out eight of a possible nine batters. The issue, though, Donnie, only went three innings. Perhaps the single greatest pitching season that we've ever seen could get messed up by injury.
Imagine if he was healthy. Would he have had 19 strikeouts, 20 strikeouts last night? It's absolutely incredible what he's doing. Nine guys see the plate. Eight of them got struck out. It's wildness, and we'll see as those markets open up again or how serious this injury is for Jacob deGrom, how that's going to factor in for the remainder of the season. Amazing performance, though, by deGrom.
Oh, absolutely delightful stuff. Also, just want to mention, yesterday in the Euros, Italy, another 3-0 victory over Switzerland. We take a break and come on back with more Early Line.
Coming to you. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are right back here on the Early Line. And as we are continuing to get closer and closer to football season, which we are getting closer, and soon we will start to break down futures and different things of that nature here on the show, I want to continue to monitor the biggest story in the NFL, which is, of course, Aaron Rodgers. And yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show, which you can catch right here on Sports Grid, Jay Glazer joined their program and gave an update on the Aaron Rodgers situation. Let's listen to Jay Glazer on the Pat McAfee Show.
I know he still wants out, without a doubt. Absolutely. Still wants out. Oh, and, you know, there are
put it on the ticker.
Yeah.
Put it on. Hey, Jay, we got to put it on the ticker. Out. Hey, Jay, we have to put it on the ticker, what you just
go
said.
Ahead. Of course he still wants out, though. They didn't suddenly come out and insult him and go, okay, now it's fixed.
I guess that wouldn't make much sense. You're 100%. Right. I guess that wouldn't make sense. You're right. What do you think happens? How do you think it plays out? What are you? Is there teams really interested? Allegedly, the Broncos.
Absolutely.
Have they made offers? Is there offers been made? Have offers been made? Do you think?
No, because it didn't even go that far. Because every time somebody called the Packers, it was immediately shut down. So look, what these teams need to do is continue to call and continue to call, whether it's for him, Deshaun Watson, any of the guys, like, continue to call to show interest, because what happens in the NFL is teams are so afraid to make the first call because they think you lose your leverage. But a lot of times, if you call a team for a player that's not available, but the player is giving you, you have troubles with them. A lot of times these teams will go, all right, you know what? They keep calling, like, if they catch you on the right day,
yeah,
sit there and go, and players have been traded this way, go, you know what? We have another offer here. Let's just get rid of the headache right now. Let's just move on. But if no one calls, you don't really have that option to do it.
I love Jay Glazer. He's great. He's just like always trained in MMA and then just breaking massive NFL news, but very like nonchalantly. It's what he did about the Odell story, just answering a mailbag. And he's like, yeah, they'll probably trade him out of New York. And then people are like, what, Jay Glazer? And then they absolutely traded him. And there are some important notes from what he was discussing there, Donnie. The first and most important, though, is that Rodgers still wants out. And it really does seem like he's not going to bend here. You know, the other day I saw a video where they were doing a little hype up for the match where Rodgers and DeChambeau are going to play Brady and Mickelson. And Tom is continuing to take his jabs at the fact, you know, oh, Rodgers would like to go for it and this, that, and the third. And Rodgers, though, isn't sitting there sulking. He's like, yeah, well, sometimes decisions are out of your hands. Like, he's now even taking his very public shots at the Green Bay Packers. Like, Donnie, as we are getting closer and closer here, I'm really starting to doubt that Aaron Rodgers is the week one quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
I still think he's going to be, because I don't know what the resolution can be from a Green Bay Packers standpoint that actually hurts them. Let's just say Aaron Rodgers, they call those to bluff and say, we're not trading. He says, I think you're going to trade me. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't play this year. Green Bay Packers are still going to roll in money. It doesn't matter if Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers week one, week two, week nine, or 12. They will be sold out at Lambeau Field. They will be sold out at Lambeau Field for the next 25 to 50 years. It doesn't matter one bit. The question is legacy of Aaron Rodgers. Is this how he wants to go out? Does he want to go, you know, all that goodwill ingratiating Green Bay, where they're going to build statues to the guy, one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it at his position, and certainly for the Green Bay Packers rivaling Brett Favre? What does it do for him if he says, well, I just don't like the GM, so I'm going to leave all my guys out on a line and just not show up in camp and let the team down? Because a lot of them are really good friends along with him. But the question always begs to differ is Aaron Rodgers is a different cat. Like, he will stalemate his own family. So if you think he won't do it to his teammates, look at how he doesn't talk to his family and the way that goes down. That's one of the interesting parts of this entire conversation, because he's a little bit different than most athletes that really need to be the center of attention and play football. But to me, it doesn't make sense for Aaron Rodgers to sit out. And if you're telling me, really, it's as easy, Kevin, as just fire the team president or the GM and I'll be back and play football. We'll be all happy and I'll get a new contract and move on. But it also goes into an implication of where is he actually going to go and what team is willing to trade 4 or 5 draft picks, players, and everything to get him. It's getting a little bit late in the game. I still think he's going to be week one, the Green Bay Packers quarterback here, Kevin.
And this is the other important thing that I thought came from that, Donnie, though, is Glazer saying that there's a bunch of teams still calling. This isn't just the Denver Broncos. And I think that's important because, again, Denver is legitimately booked in a way that is meeting in the middle, if not shading towards Rodgers or maybe even Watson being their quarterback here. But that becomes another interesting, Donnie, is who are these other teams that are going to be willing to uproot their current plans for Rodgers, which I have no qualms with. I've tried to take a look at the landscape here. Carolina, even though they brought in Sam Darnold, we thought they might draft a quarterback. They have been desperate to figure out that position. I could see Carolina potentially making a move. Maybe Miami gets back in on the sweepstakes here. We know that they had some links potentially to make it a big-time splash this offseason. The Vegas Raiders is a name that'll continue to be tossed around. And I got to be honest with you, I think the Eagles are still also going to be a team that makes this phone call if we get to a point where Rodgers is on the move.
Yeah, the Eagles have the ammunition and the capital to go out and get a guy like Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson. It's interesting some of the teams that you brought up, because we do know the Carolina Panthers were in on the hunt for quite some time. It would be fascinating if he was looking towards Miami. I don't know why he would want to go out west and play for the Raiders. Not to say it's, you know, being in Las Vegas is fantastic, brand new stadium, he's going to make a lot of money, but being in the same division here as an up-and-coming Chargers team, and oh yeah, there's Patrick Mahomes also that you're going to have to play twice a year. He seems to have the perfect scenario in Green Bay to work it out both himself legacy-wise and for the Green Bay Packers, and for them not to just come to an agreement on what's the issue here? If we just get you Julio Jones, if we just move a guy out of the front office, will that get you to come back? It seems like he's dug in. He's got a lot of money in his pocket and seems quite happy with his life right now. And you're also seeing the interviews that he's giving. There is no panic. It almost seems like there's no like animosity, like, hey, I'm not going to show up for Green Bay. I still like Green Bay, but I don't want to play for him right now, and that's fine because you don't see it from a Green Bay perspective as they're watching going, boy, he looks like he really doesn't care if he comes back to us and sits out the season here, Kevin.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff. I want to transition. The U.S. Open gets underway today. Rick Gaiman always gives us some great insight, and we want to turn it over to Rick Gaiman now to give us an update on the course as we get ready for the U.S.
Here it is, the U.S. Open, another major and another iconic venue, Torrey Pines, the South Course, playing host to the U.S. Open for the first time since the 2008 U.S. Open, where Tiger Woods beat Rocco Mediate on a Monday playoff. Unbelievable stuff. And this is a course we see routinely on the PGA Tour. But remember, when we play the Farmers Insurance Open, they utilize both courses at Torrey Pines, both the North and the South. That's not going to happen at the U.S. Open. The South course will be played for all four rounds, and there have been a few minor adjustments. Most notably, the number six hole has been turned from a par five into a par four for this event, meaning it's going to be a grueling long par four. Of course, when the USGA gets their hands on any U.S. Open venue, they are going to want to ratchet up the difficulty, so you're going to see incredibly thick rough, which is somewhat usual at Torrey Pines, but they're going to really ramp it up this week. The greens are certainly going to be as firm and fast as they can make them, and with the par 71 layout, the goal is to get the winning score somewhere near even par. Now, will they accomplish that goal? That's yet to be seen, considering the best players in the world, of course, teeing it up this week, and while many of the names at the top have question marks, a lot of them have won recently. Rory McIlroy back on the board. Brooks Koepka has won as of late. Bryson DeChambeau has also won multiple times this year. It is just a plethora of big names on an iconic course for a major championship. It doesn't get any better than this.
Awesome stuff there from Rick. We'll hear from him again in the show. I want to get his thoughts on Jon Rahm. But also, Don, I got to remind people, a great odds boost being offered for the U.S. Open.
Morikawa, Zalatoris, Kokrak, plus 250 to make the cut. We're watching golf. We're a bunch of golf guys. That's what we do here.
That's true. We are a bunch of golf guys, so we're going to continue to talk about the U.S. Open on the other side here with fellow golf guy Rick Gaiman. Come on right back.
Live odds, lines, matchups, injury report.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right here on the early line. Let's waste no time. The U.S. Open getting started today. Jon Rahm is a plus 950 favorite. The next closest, DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, and Xander Schauffele, 17-1. A big gap there. Let's see what Rick Gaiman has to think about Jon Rahm, the favorite, going into the U.S. Open.
We have to talk about the favorite in Jon Rahm. He is 10-1 to win this week's U.S. Open, and where do we start? You know, before the Memorial, which is the last time we saw Jon Rahm, he was piling up top 10 finishes, but did not have a trophy to show for it. Then seemingly on the verge of that victory with a six-shot lead after the third round at the Memorial, he tested positive for COVID and had to withdraw. And of course, that put him into the tour protocols, in which he just got out of at the end of last week. So he is ready to rock and roll at Torrey Pines, which has been nothing but a happy hunting ground for him in his career. Already a victory and multiple other times contending at Torrey Pines at the Farmers Insurance Open. Jon Rahm now looking for his first major championship. And unfortunately, to me, this might be too good to be true. Golf is a very random game, and Torrey Pines over the years has been one of the most random courses. We don't have a lot of players with a ton of great success outside of John Rahm and maybe Rory McIlroy having a sustained stretch of good play at Torrey Pines. It usually ends up being carnage. So to bet someone in a field as deep as this, as good as this, on a course as random as this, it is a really difficult pill to swallow. But if you're looking for someone just to sweat that might have a good chance on a Sunday, a more recreational wager, I believe that John Rahm is your guy. If you're looking to grind ROI and units over the course of many weeks, months, or even years, it would be difficult to pull the trigger at this number.
All right, great stuff there from Rick talking about John Rahm, the value that potentially lies there with a guy at plus 950 to win this U.S. Open. And I tell you, you know, I just, again, Donnie, and we've been following these golf markets here pre-tournament. It is just such a huge gap for John Rahm. We talked to Cam Stewart about it yesterday. It's probably a little bit too long. Let's transition over, though, to take it or leave it here, because we got some good stuff on the board as it pertains to the U.S. Open, and I love this one. Phil Mickelson finishes inside the top 20 at the U.S. Open, a top 20 finish for Lefty, plus 280 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. What do you make of this one, Donnie?
Boy, I really want to take it, Kevin. I do, because it would be such a great story and a storyline to keep everybody involved through Father's Day weekend. But I got to leave it on the table here. You catch lightning in a bottle every so often, and him winning the PGA was a miraculous win. Now, coming home to San Diego, played the course hundreds of times for himself. Hometown crowd, hometown audience. He's going to be jazzed up for this one. I just don't know if it plays out that way, because when we're taking a look at an older golfer and in a tournament, Kevin, like the U.S. Open that we just saw, so much rough, where par is a great score, spraying that driver a little bit too much. He is a great scrambler. I understand that. But a top 20 finish would be a miraculous thing for Phil Mickelson. Rooting for it, Kevin, but also leaving it. What do you think?
I think you might actually take it, but actually, maybe you take the top 10, which I know sounds crazy, but the way that Cam yesterday described Phil Mickelson coming into this tournament, it does feel kind of like an all or nothing thing. Either he is playing excellent golf and we have just a incredible finish coming down the stretch on that Sunday where Phil goes right for that career Grand Slam, back-to-back majors, where then maybe you just play a top 10. I'm not sure we get a situation where Phil is playing average golf and is just near the, you know what I mean? Like, oh, he's 25th, maybe he's 19th. Like, that doesn't seem the way things will play out there for Phil, but I'm certainly excited to watch things play out for him. Another U.S. Open edition here for Take It or Leave It. I think this is a fun one. I know it's right up Donnie's alley. Under tourney specials on the FanDuel Sportsbook, they have a hole-in-one market here. Things get very specific, but we'll keep this simple. Yes, for there to be a hole-in-one at the U.S. Open, it's minus 112, Donnie. Take it or leave it.
I'm actually going to take this one. And the interesting part is this one sort of snuck up on me, where I'm usually very keen with an eagle eye of going over the scripting for the show. But this one was thrown in a little bit later and I must not have missed it. But this is fantastic. And this one might need like two segments to go over my affection for it, because now I see the tournament specials on the FanDuel Sportsbook for hole-in-ones. You can get hole-in-one yes, hole-in-one no, two plus hole-in-ones, hole-in-one for round one. This is the information that I needed right now. So I might have to make some phone calls as we get off the air, Kevin, and see the, you know, viability of these par threes and what that might actually mean. Mm-hmm. You got to be kidding me. A hole in one. How can I not? You don't even have to watch the whole tournament. You could just have the phone and social media open here, Kevin, and say, oh, my goodness, Zalatoris hole in one. And you cash that ticket in. I got to get down on this. This is fantastic stuff, and absolutely take it no matter what the play is here. I like it. Hole-in-one props, sign me up.
I'm actually very glad that this snuck up on you. Again, this is – if you are all who watch us on a regular basis are becoming familiar with Donnie, you know this is right up his alley. But also, man, like, how could it not be? Like, if even if you just trim this down to the yes or the no bet here, right? Which, by the way, some legitimately, like, very fair odds at minus 112 for the yes, plus 108 for the no. Like, if you take the no, it's just four rounds of misery. and you very well could lose on the opening day, you take the yes. You're never out of it. And as Donnie said, like, what a delight that'll be if you're not watching wire-to-wire U.S. Open coverage, Donnie, and to the phone you get, oh, lefty with a hole-in-one. Like, you have the entire field and 4 days. Of course you should be playing the yes for the hole-in-one, Donnie.
Now, Kev, as you say that, let's take a look. Hey, how about this? Two-plus hole-in-ones,
yeah,
plus 250. Getting a little bit greedy on this one here. But again, bunch of golf guys here, we have people at our disposal to explain this to us. I need to know which hole is the best par three that we can get this done. And I'm pretty sure the U.S. Open or through ESPN or whoever is broadcasting this, you can just watch that hole itself. Sounds like four rounds of Big Donnie over here just watching one hole for the tournament and cheering it on. Oh, Kev, that was the chance. He just missed the break here. Yep. Everybody knows you got to hit it right to left on this hole and angle it in as it funnels towards the cup. I can't wait for this.
Yeah, this is a good one. We're gonna obviously both take this, and it's very likely that if we are able to bring this home, a hero of the night will go to whoever can bring us this hole in one. Let's keep on moving here in Take It or Leave It. We go over again a couple of soccer guys here. Great soccer boost today on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Belgium and Netherlands, each to score two-plus goals in their matches today, was plus 275. Now checks in at a big old plus 350 number, Donnie. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, I'm actually going to take this one. Yesterday, I want to say I got burned a little bit because the odds boost technically went 1-1 yesterday, but they did score three goals in the one game, took two off the board. So that is a painful way for it to go down. As you need goals today with Belgium and the Netherlands, each having to get at least two goals apiece in their game. I don't want to see the updates out of the corner of my eye. 1-0, yes. And 30 seconds later, see it go back to 0-0 again because a VAR or somebody was all sides this one. Let's get some goals. Let's get it both in the first half of these so we don't have to sweat. But yes, I'm taking it. Of course I'm taking this, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, but also it's a huge plus 350 number. Again, for those that are the anti-odds boosters out there, you hit a plus 350. Think about what that covers you for, right? Also, we're talking about a Netherlands side that went out there, three goals in their first match, playing Austria today, who led up a goal to North Macedonia, and then a Belgian side that put three goals as well up on the board in their first match. And again, Belgium, one of the best teams in this tournament. And you're only looking for two goals here at a huge, huge plus 350 number. And I'll also add, you can always potentially make some hedge options on the board for yourself if one of those comes home. The match start times are staggered. I love it. I think it's a great take, and I think it's a no-brainer there. Let's keep on moving here. Take it or leave it. One Major League Baseball option for us today. The Angels to cover the run line with Ohtani on the mound. I feel like the Ohtani starts, Donnie, have not been occupying the same space that they were to start the season. It's a minus 110, laying that run and a half here. What do you think here about Ohtani and the run line for the Angels?
You know what's interesting? I think the Angels are playing much better here, so I'm actually going to take this one. Give me a nice effort out of Ohtani, because we're not talking about going up against one of the elite lineups in Major League Baseball, talking about the Detroit Tigers. Manning will be on the mound, and you're looking at a heavy price here, minus 190 or higher for the Angels. The total in this game is 8.5, so if we're looking for a dominating performance out of the Angels and Shohei Ohtani in this one, you just need to maybe scrape up 4 to 5 runs in this game against the Detroit Tigers to cash that ticket in. I think they have the ability to get it done at home, playing much better baseball. We'll see when Mike Trout comes out to see if they can maybe make a push towards the playoffs and also some MVP odds for Shohei Ohtani. But I'll take it today. I'll take this one.
I actually think it is a good take it because I'm a buffoon and I love to still, even though I've learned many times to not bet being due in Major League Baseball. The Angels just got swept by the A's. They finally return home after a little road stint there. They feel due. The Tigers just swept the Kansas City Royals. Let me say that again. The Tigers just swept the Kansas City Royals. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. That's right there for the folks in the back. The Tigers are absolutely due to lose. Ohtani's an excellent pitcher. The Angels actually have been hitting much better here. I think this is a legitimate chance to cover the run line, and I'd much rather go to minus 110 on the run line here than deal with that 2-1 more minus 200 number on them there. Donnie, let's fit this in. We'll expand it on the other side. Take it or leave it, KD, to score 40 points tonight against the Bucks at plus 158.
after what I watched in the last game, I have no choice but to take this one. Are you doubting KD at this point, Kev?
Yes. Why not? I'd leave it. I can't quit Milwaukee. I won't quit Milwaukee. Come on, Budenholzer. We'll figure this out together. We'll talk about it on the other side. Come on back.
Expert perspectives and actionable insights 24 hours a day,
7 days a week.
It's the
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are back right here on the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside, Nets, Bucks. Look, this is hilarious, this game to me. So yesterday, right? Yesterday morning, chaos breaks out. Chris Paul, COVID, health and safety protocols, Kawhi Leonard, done for the postseason. And all of the sudden, as I'm going to look at some of the updated numbers, randomly, the Bucks went from 3-point favorites to 6-point favorites. No news broke. Nothing happened. Not a slight move. Not a gradual move. They went, oh, we messed something up there. Hold on a minute now. Make them 6-point favorites. I sent it to Don. I said, what is going on? He goes, all of the NBA lines are out of control. Bonnie, before we even talk about what we like in the game, why in the world did this thing move 3 full points on the drop of a hat, basically out of nowhere?
It looked like we were about to get the trifecta of bad news, or at least that's what we were waiting on, Kevin, wasn't it? Because you got the Chris Paul news injury, you got the Kawhi Leonard injury, you got the Bucks line going wild. So when you try to put two and two together, well, it looks like maybe Kevin Durant maybe have strained something here, or James Harden had a severe setback, and it's official now Kyrie is not coming back. That's the only thing you can think of, is that somebody knows something that you don't, because lines ripping and running based on information you think is about to come back or come out, and you say to yourself, well, it has to be bad for the Nets. Nothing has come out in the favor, but that line all of a sudden on the move up to 5.5, as we saw in the FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 188 on the money line now for the Nets, and a 220.5. I saw what KD did in the last game, so you try to equate it to game 6 now on the road. Is he going to be able to get that monster effort once again and win this game all by himself? We were led to believe, or at least some of the tea leaves coming out, that James Harden, no worse from the wear for all the minutes that he played in the last game. So you would think that might help the effort to lower that line on the Nets. But Kevin, it went the opposite direction. I don't know what to believe in the NBA right now.
Look, this thing is obviously all over the place. Again, we've talked about just how bizarre all of the lines have been here through injury news, through, you know, oh, all right, this team's toast or whatever it might be. We enter this game, though, and I have to say, I think for the first time, I actually feel strongly about backing the Bucks. I believe the Bucks can win the series the entire time. But it's felt a little dirty to say you like Milwaukee on a, you know, a game 3 line or a game 4 line, just the way that they go about things. I really do believe that the Bucks not only win this game, I think they win this game by double digits, Donnie. I truly do believe that here in this spot. They have now, similar to the Sixers, gone up nearly 20 points in consecutive games. They held on in one of them. Obviously, they collapsed in game number 5. But in fact, they've actually now held near 20-point leads in 3 straight games here against the Brooklyn Nets. And while they obviously are having an issue closing the door here, I think in Milwaukee, where they have yet to lose to the Brooklyn Nets, I think in a game where Kevin Durant is off of a 48-minute workload, Harden off of a 46-minute workload, as much as the Nets will obviously still be going for it, I do not think they will have that same level, Donnie, of go for it. I don't think it's 48 minutes tonight for KD. I don't think it's 46 minutes tonight for Harden. I think this is a Bucks game here tonight. I think they get the job done. I think they get it done by double digits.
It should be. And you know the way it should play out, Kevin? The same way it played out last night in Philadelphia versus the Hawks in a similar type game situation with the team that needs it, wants to exert themselves on the home court, wants to get up by 20-plus points and close the game out, but the Sixers weren't able to close the game out. We also saw a similar thing happen in Game 5 back in Brooklyn where it took KD in the second half to go to ridiculous efforts to drop just about 50 points to lead them to victory. If we're asking for another 48-minute game out of KD where he pushes 45-plus points in this game, you know what, Kevin? That doesn't even guarantee a victory for the Nets. That just means that the Nets are going to be involved in this game. You're right. This should be a game where Brooklyn says, pressure is off, man. Thank God we got Game 5. This isn't a must-win on the road. Let's see what happens, as I like to say, in the first half. And if we're close, okay, let's play it all the way through. But if you're up 15 points, double digits at the half for the Milwaukee Bucks, there's no reason to believe they should lose this game. But then again, there was no reason to believe the Bucks should have lost Game 5, or even yesterday the Sixers should have lost Game 5 on their home court. Crazy things have been happening in the past 48 hours. Wouldn't surprise me if this game is up. Looks like it's over early. Hold on now. Here come the Nets.
And I think that's also a very good point to make here. If you tonight lay this 5.5 points with Milwaukee, and all of a sudden they're laying 14.5, I have no issue looking in the middle of the game. None whatsoever. In fact, I might actually recommend it. Because, again, this Bucks team collapses. But I actually, and you know, it's funny. So when that game went to halftime and the Bucks were up 15, 17 points, I said, are the Nets really going to run Durant and Harden out there for nearly the entire game in a double-digit loss? Some people, including my boss, proudly said, boy, that take aged awfully, which in a way, but it really wasn't actually meant to be a take. It was just more of an observation. Clearly the game started to turn around, but it was just to me the fact that they were going to just keep them out there despite the fact that it didn't seem like it was working. Now, again, it worked. Obvious. I get that. But I don't know if in Milwaukee tonight you have that same approach. Because if you do, and this time you don't come back, which, again, they shouldn't, but if you don't, you go into Game 7 having taxed Harden and Durant in an unbelievable way that will now put you up against the eight ball in that seventh game here tonight. And that's why, Donnie, not because Kevin Durant can't go out there and score 40. Again, he'll have the workload and the ability, obviously. I just don't think he should be out there tonight for 48 minutes. Like, his points prop tonight's, you know, it was 37.5. It's down to 36.5. Like, I'm not doing this here tonight on KD. I am trying to keep this game simple. I think the Bucks win. I think they should win by double digits. That's how I see this game playing out.
I think you're right. I think that's the way it should play out tonight, because you have the Bucks. If they lose, they are going home, and massive change to that roster. If you can bring the band back and win Game 6 and then also win Game 7, you might be looking at an NBA championship for the Milwaukee Bucks. So a monster Game 6 if they can push it even to a Game 7 here for the future of that franchise. But everything you're saying makes a lot of sense. And one of the original points I brought up when you're looking at this game, just because KD goes off, that doesn't mean that James Harden's going to go. He was terrible in the last game, and obviously Kyrie is not there. So if you're getting a monster game out of KD, that doesn't ensure a victory for the Brooklyn Nets. But if you get a monster game out of the Greek Freak, you're probably looking at an easy win for the Milwaukee Bucks this one. Crowd will be loud. Crowd will be excited. You should get a bump off that home crowd. And also keep in mind, human psychology here. The Nets going into this game, they would love to win this game, certainly, but they don't have to. They can go home to Brooklyn and close it out to think that's better to their advantage, or if they don't play well or just trying to get some guys some rest. Looking forward to a victory here from the Bucks. The one thing I do know, Kevin, game starts at 8:40 Eastern time. We'll be building a three-point player prop for this game as well. So big things expected all the way around between the Nets and the Bucks from our perspective, Kevin.
No doubt about it. There are two props that I want to bring up. The first is the Chris Middleton 24.5-point prop. When they came back at a must-win game in Game 3, he scored 35. Now, he was actually held to 19 in the second game. A little bit lower of a workload here. I think you'll see Middleton take the challenge here, answer the bell a little bit more. He did score 25 in Game 5. I think Middleton over 24.5 points makes some sense here. Donnie, what do you make of the James Harden numbers here? I'll approach it from the all together, 30.5 points plus rebounds plus assists. He finished up that game, 5 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds. What do you think about these Harden numbers? Any interest in trying to grab him under, or is James Harden due for a much better night?
He can't get any worse, so a much better night is, I don't know, double it to 10 points that he has. I'm not expecting big things because, quite frankly, I don't know if his cardio is up to par at this point because of how much time he's missed during the season. And we even saw when he started in Houston where it only takes him 2 to 3 weeks to look like he's gained 30 pounds. He's still an elite all-around player. Maybe he just has to get his sea legs back under him, Kevin, to score points. But even in this game where at least he has one game back and now moving forward to game six, I look at the under props for Harden in this spot the same way I still would look to the over in the KD props. I just don't trust it with my own eyes, Kevin, until I see him go out there again and play like MVP James Harden can play.
Yeah, I think this is a situation where you have to play the under. But I would play it on points, rebounds, and assists at 30.5. I know that he absolutely could go out there and, you know, I let a couple cheap, you know, cheap rebounds fall to him, or he's just finding an open man with his assist. I get all of that. I want a bigger number than just his 15.5 points. There's a lot of ways for you to cash this number. There's the way that it all played out here in Game 5, where he was just awful. He was 0 for 8 from beyond the arc, 1 for 10 from the floor, and only mustered up 5 points. There's also, and this might sound like cheating, but it's really not, there's the re-injury bug there. I think you're... I don't want to say crazy, but I think you're mistaken to play Harden over. No matter how much value you believe is there, he came back and played 46 minutes. I cannot trust him finishing this basketball game. I cannot imagine he goes out there and keeps that same workload here. I would tell you this. I think it's more likely that Durant goes out there and has a big-time drop-off from what he put forward in Game 5 than Harden magically all of a sudden is 100% healthy. I think under 30.5 points plus rebounds plus assists tonight, Donnie, is the type of play. What do you make of that? I'm also curious, for the three-point prop parlays that we'll likely be building tonight, do you think early doors Harden is someone you'll actually consider putting in?
Yes, because if he's going to play that many minutes, eventually the shots are going to go down. Is it one of those where I want to go, hey, James Harden, to make 3-plus more? Probably not. But if you're just going to throw him in for maybe 2 3-point makes, if I'm going to get 35 minutes out of Harden, you know, Kevin, whether he makes or misses, he's shooting 6, 7, 8, or 9 of those because they don't have anywhere else to go. With Kyrie Irving not being out there, he will be the primary ball handler out there. Whether that is a good thing for their offense and he's still injured, we'll see that tonight, but the one thing, his usage rate is certainly going to be high where they will run the offense through both him and KD. I will be thinking about James Harden here in the three-point props. He will be included. Good thing I didn't include him last time. Didn't cash a ticket, but he didn't make a three-pointer. I do expect him to make at least one three-pointer tonight. He will certainly, Kevin, be on my card.
Interesting to follow. Let me ask you this, Donnie, before we close this thing out of here. The odds to win the East. The Nets are minus 160. The Bucks are the second choice at plus 340. Then comes the Sixers at plus 550. And then lastly, the Atlanta Hawks at 7-1. Do any of those four numbers jump off the page to you as possible value?
Yes, Milwaukee Bucks plus 340 in this spot, because if they can win Game 6 and you still don't have a healthy Nets team, they can certainly go on the road and win Game 7. I'm kind of out on the Sixers. If they're really going to struggle with the Hawks and play this poorly and Joel Embiid each and every night, we're worried if he's going to get hurt. I won't take the 550. Forget about the Atlanta Hawks. The only play on the board for me will be the Milwaukee Bucks plus 340 if that's what we're into.
To me, it's still Philly. I don't, even if Atlanta got there, I don't really see them beating the Nets or the Bucks. Yeah, you could possibly, you know, have some hedge opportunities there, but I think they'd still be sizable dogs. I'm not laying minus 160 on Brooklyn. And Milwaukee, I would just rock with the series price ultimately. Again, they're just an absolute headache to me. I don't trust them to beat whomever even would be there in the conference finals. That'll do it for my portion of the early line. Coming up next, Ariel Epstein joins Donnie Wrightside to let you know what's coming up on The Morning After.
Some artists work in clay, some in oil.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
right, last segment today on the early line right here on the Sports Grid Network. 2 hours action-packed, and it was kind of tough for me to get through today because I had to come to grips with the Philadelphia 76ers maybe not even advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals, but that's for another story here. Coming up next, the morning after 9 to 12, Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. What's going on here, Ariel?
Hey, I popped in here a little late. I just saw this news, and I know you're all in on your Philadelphia 76ers, but I just saw the news about Rafael Nadal not participating in Wimbledon. Whew, that just threw things for a loop in the Wimbledon odds. You've now got Djokovic at minus 110. However, you're talking about your Sixers. I can't believe, Donnie, what they did last night, blowing that lead. Nonetheless, being outscored by almost 30 points in the fourth quarter. Terrible.
I'll tell you what's terrible. You saw how emotional I am. I got a frog caught in my throat here. I can't even get through this segment. I'm still so worried about my Philadelphia 76ers trying to advance and at least force a game seven. It's going to be some tough doing, but always interesting stuff coming up on the show with the morning after today. I know you have a lot going through. Also, the U.S. Open in golf, and is Lefty going to take down a U.S. Open championship right after he wins the PGA? Interesting stuff going on here as we head towards the weekend, Ariel.
Yeah, we've had two great golf analysts on this week, ESPN.com's David Bierman. We had Cam Rogers, who comes on every Wednesday. They gave us some great action. Neither of them are going with Phil Mickelson. Everyone is on him. All the public bets. He's the most publicly bet golfer in all of golf this week. Yet, you talk to all the sharp bettors, they tell you, nope, it'd be nice. Not really having a chance.
Yeah, we'll see. Father's Day weekend, what a big win it would be for Phil out of Torrey Pines in San Diego. A homecoming of some sorts there, but also a wild 72 hours over the past, you know, few games in the NBA. Teams that shouldn't be winning are winning. Massive comebacks, massive failures. And heading towards tonight, we'll see if the Milwaukee Bucks can pick up a victory over the Brooklyn Nets, and also if KD can have another Herculean performance. Stay tuned for the morning after coming up in just a few moments. Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens right here on the Sports Grid Network. We're out of here for the early line.
Sports info is everywhere. We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.